Would you design a society where you might end up homeless, powerless, and voiceless? Of course not. Yet that's precisely the world we've built, one where your life prospects depend overwhelmingly on the circumstances of your birth. In 1971, philosopher John Rawls proposed a radical thought experiment: design society from behind a veil of ignorance, not knowing whether you'd be born rich or poor, brilliant or struggling, healthy or disabled. This simple premise revolutionized how we think about justice. But here's the tragedy. While Rawls transformed academic philosophy, his ideas barely touched real politics. Today, as democracies crumble under inequality and distrust, we desperately need his vision of a society that's both genuinely free and fundamentally fair. Here's how the thought experiment works. You're tasked with designing all the rules, economic systems, political structures, rights, and freedoms, but you don't know your place in the society you're creating. You might be born into wealth or poverty, you might have extraordinary talents or face significant disabilities. You might belong to the majority religion or a persecuted minority. What principles would you choose? Rawls argued you'd select two fundamental guarantees. First, equal basic liberties for everyone, freedom of speech, conscience, association, and political participation that can't be sacrificed even for economic gains. These aren't negotiable. Second, you'd permit inequalities only under strict conditions. Positions must be genuinely open to all, and any disparities must actually benefit the least advantaged. Why these principles? Because without knowing your starting point, you'd prioritize securing fundamental freedoms regardless of who you become. You'd reject systems that might leave you vulnerable. The brilliance here isn't demanding we become selfless saints. It's recognizing that fairness and self-interest align when we don't know our position. Our political landscape feels like trench warfare: progressives versus conservatives, religious freedom versus equality. Must we choose sides? Rawls offers an escape through political liberalism. Seek principles people with different fundamental beliefs could reasonably accept. Take LGBTQ+ rights versus religious freedom. A Rawlsian approach protects both same-sex couples' equal treatment in public accommodations and religious organizations' freedom to maintain theological commitments internally. Religious groups determine their own membership, but businesses serving the public must serve everyone equally. Democracy faces a legitimacy crisis. Research shows government policy aligns far more closely with wealthy citizens' preferences than middle or lower income groups. Rawls's first principle guarantees not just formal political rights, but their fair value, ensuring citizens of similar talent have roughly equal chances to influence politics regardless of economic class. How might we restore this? Proportional representation creates legislatures better reflecting diverse views. Democracy vouchers offer each citizen an annual allowance to contribute to parties or candidates. Seattle's program increased donor participation by 350%. Participatory budgeting, pioneered in Porto Alegre, Brazil, lets citizens meet in neighborhood assemblies to determine spending priorities. This model has spread to over 11,000 programs across 71 countries, demonstrating that genuine democracy, where all citizens have meaningful voice, is achievable. Most people support equal opportunity, yet reality falls short. In the UK and US, about 50% of earnings advantage passes from fathers to sons. Over 40% of children born into the top income quintile remain there as adults, while only 7 to 9% born at the bottom reach the top. Nordic countries show much higher mobility. Only 15 to 20% of earnings advantage passes between generations. Genuine equality begins with early childhood. By age 5, children from poor families are 19 to 22 months behind wealthy peers in school readiness. High-quality early education narrows these gaps. The Perry Preschool Project produced lasting benefits, including higher earnings and lower crime rates decades later. Denmark spends 1.3% of GDP on early education, nearly double the OECD average and 4 times U.S. spending. Private schools create structural barriers. UK private school graduates earn 41% more by their early 30s and dominate elite professions. Finland prohibits fee-paying schools, creating excellent outcomes for all students. At America's elite universities, more students come from the top 1% than the entire bottom 50%. Median Black household wealth, $16,000, is just 12% of white household wealth, $140,000. Women earn about 25% less than men across OECD countries. Creating genuine equality requires universal early education, equitable school funding, affordable higher education, strong anti-discrimination enforcement, and policies addressing gendered household labor. Equal opportunity doesn't guarantee justice. Markets naturally produce inequality. So the question becomes, what kind and how much is justified? Rawls's difference principle offers guidance. Inequalities are justified only if they benefit everyone, especially the least advantaged. Some inequality creates necessary incentives. Higher doctor salaries ensure enough people endure medical training. Profit potential spurs innovation. We prioritize the least advantaged because they have the strongest reason to object to society's arrangement. Under this principle, the poorest would know their position couldn't be better under any alternative system. They're owed reciprocity as justice, not charity. Justice extends to future generations. We must preserve stable climate, diverse ecosystems, and vital resources. Global temperatures have risen over 1°C above pre-industrial levels, heading toward 3°C, risking catastrophic breakdown. Sustainability requires legal frameworks defining natural boundaries, like the UK's Climate Change Act with its 5-year carbon budgets. Within ecological limits, a universal basic income could transform how we meet basic needs through regular cash payments to every citizen. This eliminates stigma and intrusive means testing while preserving dignity. Research shows UBI experiments minimally impact work participation while improving health, education, and parenting. Wealth inequality surpasses income disparity. The wealthiest 10% own 61% of personal wealth in Europe and 71% in America, while the poorest 50% hold just 3% and 1.5% respectively. A universal minimum inheritance, a substantial one-time transfer to every citizen at adulthood, funded by taxes on large inheritances, could reshape this imbalance. Alternatively, a citizen's wealth fund, owned collectively, could democratize wealth. Norway's 1.4 trillion sovereign wealth fund and Alaska's permanent fund, distributing $1,500 annually per resident, prove this model works. These proposals require taxes around 45 to 50% of national income, levels France and Denmark already exceed without harming growth. The shareholder primacy model creates a democratic deficit harming worker well-being. Fewer than half of employees are consulted on important decisions, breeding chronic anxiety. One-third of UK workers report workplace fear. One in five Americans experience recent verbal abuse or harassment. This reflects a dignity crisis from industrial decline, gig economy expansion, and increased surveillance. Rawls's difference principle suggests workplace hierarchies are justified only if they benefit the least advantaged, requiring company structures where workers have legal rights to participate in decision-making. Co-management, born in post-World War I Germany, gives workers board representation. In Germany, employees elect one-third of board members in companies over 500 workers, half in those over 2,000. Works councils provide day-to-day influence over working conditions. Research shows co-managed companies deliver better job security, family-friendly policies, improved job quality, less outsourcing, and reduced wage inequality, with neutral or positive performance effects. Worker cooperatives replace shareholders with workers on a one-worker, one-vote basis. Spain's Mondragon, founded in 1954, comprises 95 cooperatives employing 80,000 people across diverse sectors. Yet, cooperatives remain rare globally, just 0.3% of UK employment, not due to performance issues but financing challenges. Workers lack capital, and cooperatives struggle to secure external funding. A dedicated cooperative investment bank could transform workplace democracy from rare exception to viable alternative. Combining co-management with cooperative ownership creates workplaces where employees have both voice and stake, fundamentally reshaping the relationship between capital and labor. Throughout history, utopian visions have transformed radical ideas like universal suffrage into reality. At our democratic crossroads, we need bold thinking to counter the cynicism fueling authoritarian populism. Rawls's framework offers both critique and roadmap, strengthening democracy through proportional representation, campaign finance reform, and participatory mechanisms, while transforming capitalism through educational reform, universal basic income, empowered workers, and democratized workplaces. This realistic utopia requires no speculative technology or changed human nature, just feasible reforms approached with experimental openness. Seizing this opportunity requires moral leadership. Progressive parties must articulate clear values connecting to everyday realities like religious freedom, education, and workplace dignity. Politicians alone won't deliver this agenda. We must demand change through voting, joining parties, and building social movements. In a world where birth determines destiny and wealth buys power, we face a choice. Accept cynicism and retreat into tribalism, or demand the society we'd design if we didn't know our place within it. That society, where everyone has genuine opportunity, meaningful voice, and dignified work, isn't a fantasy. It's a choice.